Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, I'm Jackie Cation, and you're listening to The Dork Forest. You've done it. You've chosen wisely. The website's jackiecation.com, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com. Jackiecation.com has everything, right? This podcast, links to my other podcast, links to my calendar for when stand-up comedy happens again, links to the merch if you want a Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt. If you want any of my stand-up merchandise, there's a bunch of new merch over there. There's the old pins. There's a new challenge coin. There's a bunch of t-shirts. There's CDs. There's my DVD. And there's some video. And there's more of the information that you could deal with. Also, so that's on JackieCation.com. And there's a link on, of course, dorkforest.com to the merch page. The other thing you could do is you go to iTunes and review the show. That's always something that's supposed to help. Hi. You might be listening to the show on Pandora or Spotify or Amazon or Stitcher or some other place. Anyway, you might be just listening to it at dorkforest.com, which will also have the videos. As long as we're in COVID, as long as we're in quarantine, I am doing Zoom. I'm doing this show as also a video show. So you can go to the YouTube page and get a bunch of that. That also has a bunch of my stand-up clips on it as well. Let's do the credits. Hey, Mike Rickberg wrote and composed that song that you just heard, and he sang it with his wife, Sarah. He will sing at the end of the program his words to the Mexican Hat Dance. Very glamorous. Patrick Brady fixes the audio, the video. He does everything, and he really kind of keeps me sane. Loving Patrick Brady, especially in these days. And then Vilmos keeps JackieCation.com rocking and rolling, as the kids say. There are several ways to support the show. I've already mentioned reviewing the show on iTunes. You could also just tell people that you love the show. That's always something. You could repost it if it's a particular episode you enjoy. You could join the Ranger page on Facebook if you like. That's just a bunch of people who love the show, and they can riff on each other and talk about the show and dorky things that they love themselves. My Twitter, Instagram, and all things Snapchat at Jackie Cation. If you ever want to get in touch with me, it's Jackie at JackieCation.com. That's my email address. And if you want to donate, you can just give me money, quite honestly. You can PayPal me, Jackie at JackieCation.com, or use the button on JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com, and it comes directly to me. I will use it, in this case, enormously wisely on things like shelter and food until I'm on the road again. And then, and I appreciate whatever you could send. If you want to make it monthly, if you do monthly things, you can make the PayPal thing monthly. You can also, if you don't like PayPal, you could pay me by Venmo. My Venmo is just my name, Jackie-Cation, and then a picture of me windswept, I believe. Other than that, Bandcamp. If you've run out of episodes to watch and would like more, there are live episodes on dorkforest.bandcamp.com. And there's a bunch of episodes. There's 200 episodes before I started pre-recording. The best 17 of the horrible audio that they were are on Bandcamp. So you can listen to those for free. There's a bunch of live ones that are like $2 a piece because they cost me some money to produce. So I charge you a couple of bucks. There's also a storytelling album if you like that. So much info. Let's get into the show. Hi, I'm Jackie Cation. I'm in my garage. It's exciting. I just did your show. You have a live stream version of a show, and now she's coming on my show to do my show, and it's Sophia Zolan. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good for me. I asked, and then I remembered.
You did. Also, that's technically, it's my stage name, so It's so funny, because my real last name is very Greek. It's Ansolatos.
Ansolatos. Poli.
Yes.
So that's all I know. And where did I learn that? Harlequin romance in high school.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, that sentence is a non sequitur. It doesn't make any sense because a Harlequin romance in high school, I used to essentially travel by reading books set in different places, and one of them was set in Greece.
Oh.
And turns out a person fell in love with a Greek man.
I mean, yeah. Don't blame them. They're very handsome bunch.
right. They're, it's all working out. And but that is literally the only thing I know. And I went to Greece. So
really?
Wait.
It's Efkaristo. And what was the other thing you said?
Poli.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's great to know when you're in Greece.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And they're like, cool. That's all you really need to know.
Oh, good. How polite of you. Thank
you. Yeah, exactly. She's a good one.
She's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
And so you are Sophia Zolon, and this, you have the shout out on live stream, and all of this can be found on SophiaZolon.com, right?
Yes. And on my Instagram. Yeah.
And Instagram, which is also Sophia Zolon. And the, so it is exciting. We talked about mantras, and now I asked for like five things you dork out about, and you picked, you know what? I don't know. I'm going to switch up on you because we're recording this in October. It's not going to air until November, but I say as the holidays begin in this time, these troubled times, make it the favorite holiday of your life. And if some people freaking love Halloween and horror movies, and this one right here, Sophia Zolon enjoying Halloween. Are you wearing a Halloween shirt?
This is from Beetlejuice.
Oh God, I've never seen Beetlejuice.
What?
I know. You would have thought it would have been age. I was the perfect age to see Beetlejuice.
Oh
but
my
I,
God.
Yeah,
and
I understand.
Since, like, we've let all these Halloweens go by and not watch Beetlejuice.
Have you ever seen Don Knotts's chicken movie? The Ghost of Chicken, the Chicken Ghost movie?
No.
Anyway, it's black and white. It's from the 60s. It's occasionally surprised. I genuinely, scary movies successfully scare me. So I try not to watch them.
But I would say Beetlejuice is very scary. It's like more hilarious.
Oh, right. It's supposed to be funny, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just missed it. I never saw The Lost Boys. There's several movies, which is a vampire movie. And that's kind of scary. But do you like them all? Do you like funny, scary movies and scary movies and bloody ones and tension filled? What are your horror movies of choice?
So I will say, like when it comes to like just Halloween stuff, I like most of my favorite movies are not scary, but like that sort of camp. Like I love Beetlejuice. I love Death Becomes Her. I love Addams Family. All of those, like just even like old Tim Burton stuff is like very much my jam.
Did you ever see High Spirits?
No, oh wait.
It's with ghosts.
Down.
It's with Peter O'Toole plays, he clearly owed taxes because it's Steve Guttenberg, Daryl Hannah, and Beverly D'Angelo. And then Liam Neeson has the best small bit part. He makes the movie.
Yes. I'm putting this down because I'm always
spirits.
Looking.
That I've seen 26 times because I worked
really?
At
Really? Oh, wow.
Yes. And
is it scary or is it funny? Like same genre?
It's supposed to be funny. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
But there's some pretty good melting face business that
yes,
happens.
Yes. Yes.
So there's that. So
yes.
So which, what's better? Death Becomes Her? What is that one?
Oh, you haven't seen Death Becomes Her? Oh my gosh. I need you to watch all these movies. This is another one with Goldie Hawn and Meryl Streep. I wish I had, I have like all this like art stuff nearby me that I want to grab, but I, over quarantine, I painted Goldie Hawn and then Meryl Streep. And it was kind of an ongoing joke because the first version of it was so bad, but then I kind of fixed it. So I was very proud of myself.
Well
but,
done.
It's about, they're kind of rivals. They used to be best friends. And then Meryl Streep stole Goldie Hawn's husband and was like this actress, like all the success. And then she kind of like got overweight and really like let herself go and kind of found this magical potion that gave her everlasting life and also made her very young and beautiful. And then Meryl Streep finds out about it and she gets it too. But then there's like the catch that they're like decaying and like it's really funny. And got an Oscar for special effects because like back then they did like amazing special effects.
Okay. That sounds great.
Yes,
that sounds exactly up my Halloween alley. Honestly, I just watched Practical Magic for the first time last year, and that was adorable. That was lovely. Yeah.
That's like a very cute witch movie. Like I love the craft, but if you want like a more wholesome feeling or you know, just feel good.
Yes, I do.
Which movie? I want them to kill the bad guy, bury them in the backyard, and feel really good about it.
Yeah, and feel okay about it. Sure.
Yeah.
And how do we translate that into reality? Except for I didn't say that. So there we go. So Death Becomes Her, probably on Netflix or whatever. I'll watch that.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's got Bruce Willis is in it. He plays the husband that they're kind of fighting over. I know. And then Isabella Rossellini's in it. She plays kind of the woman that has this, you know, fountain of youth thing. But it's really, really funny and campy. And it's all those movies that I mentioned are ones that I kind of miss. I feel like that genre is not as done anymore. Like yesterday I was watching Addams Family and I was like, this movie is so good. Like,
oh, really?
Why don't they make movies like this anymore? And it's kind of what I want to write.
Okay. Well, and I think people would appreciate that because I've also never seen the Addams Family.
Oh my gosh. I need to say you down.
You can just quarantine. Send me a list.
Yeah, I will.
And send it to me because it is Halloween. I could watch all the good Halloween movies.
Yes.
That aren't, and Addams Family, I know that I was talking to Martha Kelly and she can't stop watching the Chipmunks movie and then also the Paddington movies.
Oh, interesting.
So she's trying to stop the voices in her head as well. Well, so good for her.
I've been telling people and you originally asked me about horror movies and I will get to that too. But somebody said that around the Great Depression, the movies that were made afterwards that were very like sought after were fantasy movies and horror movies, which I thought was very interesting because it was like, fantasy I see because it's kind of like escapism. It's like, you know, just a different reality. And then horror, I wonder if it's like just reflecting our own inner turmoil or seeing like,
I don't
have it that bad. You know,
right. Like the other ones that were really popular in the 30s, the depressions were stories about rich people.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah, like a lot of
aspirational.
All those, Gene Kelly and all those dancing movies and you know, fancy, you know, marbled mansions and things. And then Frank Capra, you know, in the end of the Depression when things were getting better and it was more about, you know, way to sell the New Deal. So that's why It's a Wonderful Life was never popular when it came out because people were sick of being told that they needed to, you know, hunker down. They were sick of living that. They wanted to move on. So
But then
it went into the public domain and became a classic.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So what horror movies have you watched? Old horror movies?
Oh my God. I watched so many. And that's what I was thinking about, that, you know, phenomenon. I don't know what you want to call it, about the fantasy and horror back then, because all I've been watching is horror movies during a lot of this quarantine.
Yeah.
And I would say like my favorites, which this sounds so like sadistic, but I tend to love like slasher movies because it's very like, you know, like Scream obviously does it the best. I mean, you know, I would say some would argue like Halloween and some of those classics too, but there's something kind of fun about like, it's like,
because it's, you know, over the top or something, or is it
kind of, it's over the top. It almost becomes like, it's kind of fun to see. There are usually like kids and they like rent out a cabin somewhere, or like there's some kind of huge party that's thrown, so kind of hits that, and then it's almost like, who's gonna die? Like it becomes like a game, and then
like,
it's also
which
like
ones aren't gonna make it.
I mean, sometimes it's very obvious to see who's gonna be like the final girl, but that's what they call it, like the final girls, like she's like the virgin one. She's the one that's like it's kind of cool when they switch it and they kill off the final girl, which is kind of what, or not, Scream doesn't do this, but they like really trick you at the beginning because you think Drew Barrymore is going to be the final girl and she dies in the first scene. So it's that kind of like,
so that's not
mystery.
Too bad of a spoiler either, because it's the first scene. Yeah. And this is a 40-year-old movie.
Exactly.
So
sorry about it if I gave a spoiler.
There will be.
Yeah. So you'll be like, God damn it, I've been saving Scream. What was I going to say? Yeah, so just that. And then also trying to figure out who the killer is. Usually there's that kind of like a fun kind of mystery.
Oh, there's always a mystery. Because what's the one with the Jason with the mask?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is there some reveal at the end that he takes the mask off?
That is not, I'm not like also a huge Jason buff, but I would say that's not so much the reveal. I guess in the first movie, maybe you're a little bit like, what's his reasoning?
Right, and or some, who is he?
And some people, like, maybe the backstory helps to, like, alleviate the mystery. But then there's other ones, like, I mean, kind of my favorite time period was, like, I guess early 2000s, which would, or like late 90s, which would be Scream and like Urban Legends, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Those are all the ones that you're like, who did it? Like, who's the killer? Whereas I feel like Jason and Michael Myers.
And that has to be like, that has to be formative years for you too, where you're like 14 or 15 or something. And you're like, this is going to be the greatest. I'm going to go and get scared. There's going to be. Yeah. Okay.
And so, it's like, it reminds me of like slumber parties and like, you know, you have a little party and then it's like, who can stay up the latest? And let's do Bloody Mary and Candyman.
And watching those movies with people, like a group of people who are just scared and riffing and kind of that kind of stuff on it. Yeah. I would probably watch, like I've done that. I've gone over to Matt Weinhold's house and seen The Ghost and Mrs. Chicken. That's what it's called.
And that's too.
The Ghost
of
Mrs. Chicken
of.
Is Don Knotts. And it is dumb. But I think I think we knew that at the words Don Knotts is in it. So like the ones, the movies that I tend to watch at Halloween's are like the, at Halloween's, at Halloween are the,
at the Halloween.
I like those, the monster movies of, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, Abbott and Costello Meet the Werewolf, Abbott and Costello Meet Dracula.
I don't even know these. They're from the 30s. Amazing. Yeah.
And they're Abbott and Costello were a comedy duo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they did comedy and then they are also, in the movies, there's the tall one who's supposed to be the love interest, the good looking. But in the 30s, it's just like in the 80s, the good looking comic is just a sort of normal
slubby
looking person.
Yeah.
Just, you're like, yeah, you're right. He's better looking than the other guy. But that's, I mean, it's all
twist
context.
My arm. I guess I'll go for that one.
It's just, you know, you look at the good looking male comics of today, you're like, sort of. I mean, good looking for comics. Same with, I mean, I don't know. But Abbott Costello, so they're kind of cowardly.
Yes.
And they and then there's monsters.
Yes.
So
I love
those
that.
Are more monster movies.
Yeah. I kind of want to rewatch. Yeah. There's a lot of classics that I feel like I want to go back and watch because that sounds very fun to me. Or and even like Nosferatu, you know, like just the kind of the staples that you should watch. I have not done my due diligence.
Right. Well, because you were watching those sort of more teen slasher movies.
Right. Yeah.
Those sound super fun. There was some monster movie that I just saw, Colossal.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. And, I like that.
Yeah. And that wasn't it. You were like, well, I suppose it's a monster movie. There's a monster in it.
Yeah.
And, but it was such a good, and it had such an excellent, I won't spoil this one for people because it has a really good, and it's on Hulu. And what's her name?
I was thinking of Anne
Hathaway.
And that's what I was, it's like Anne Hathaway. Is that right? That's
maybe,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or Keira. It might've been Keira.
No, it's Knightley? Definitely Anne Hathaway.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
But whatever
the one that
was,
people like don't like her, you know, how, like people, it's like a phenomenon.
Yeah. There's weird, like arbitrary. No, we don't like her anymore.
Yeah.
And you're like, why? I don't know.
She's too nice.
But what I liked about Colossal was she produced it.
Oh,
and hired
I didn't know
all
that.
Yeah, she was like, no one's ever going to book, you know, put me in a horror movie.
That's so true.
I would like to be in a horror movie.
Yeah,
and so
that's so true.
She got
I
to
saw,
do it.
I thought that was really good. The one monster movie that I saw relatively recently that I really liked was The Ritual.
What's that?
And it's about these guys that they take a trip, like they lose one of their friends at the beginning. This is not a spoiler. And they decide to go on this trip that they had been planning with this guy. And we're like, well, we should go on this trip in his honor. And it's kind of like, I forget what country they're in, but they're doing some kind of hike. And then they're like, one of them gets injured. So they have to take a shortcut. And then it's just this whole like
shortcut.
Yeah, exactly. You know what happens in a shortcut. It's very like, and I don't even know if I would call that a monster. It's very, like, just what you Blair Witch Project meets like kind of Hereditary or The Wicker Man esque.
Okay.
Vibe.
Okay.
That's
which
that's
I've never.
Vibe.
What's The Wicker Man? I know a friend of mine wrote a book about.
Really?
Sort of, so yeah.
I actually need to see the original because I am terrible and I've seen the remake, which is hysterical because Nicolas Cage is in it and, you know, he's like a renowned like over actor.
That is, there's trouble.
Yeah. So there's like one scene in particular that, you know, if you watch the remake, you know what I'm talking about, where it's like so over the top. You're like, what is happening? I love this. but it's basically, you know, somebody kind of investigates this kind of, I'm going to get all the facts of this wrong, but like Amish-esque town, you know, secluded town. Some, I guess, missing girl is there. And then, you know, come to find out there's, I don't know, I don't want to give any spoilers, but there's an intentional reason behind it, you know.
Right, because the Wicker Man is some sort of like, like it's been in culture for a long time as some sort of boogeyman.
Yeah, and, or like a pagan god you have to sacrifice to, kind of a
right, who doesn't want that?
Exactly. And,
did you see the... Key and Peele did horror movie, one of those guys?
Yeah. Jordan Peele, how he did...
Yeah, Jordan Peele. He's famous. Yeah.
I was like, did Key and Peele together do a sketch on a horror movie? I mean, I'm sure they have.
I'm sure they have. Yeah.
I saw Us and then Get Out. And then I haven't seen... I know there's a show on HBO, isn't it?
Twilight Zone or something.
That I haven't seen either, but I wanted to see that. And then what's the Lovecraftian... County.
Oh, Lovecraft.
Yeah,
it's Lovecraft just called Lovecraft. County. Yeah. Is that Jordan Peele?
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen that either, but that's another one that I... Because, like, H.P. Lovecraft is not... That's, what I guess, a genre I'm not, like, super into. I guess I am. I mean, I really like The Thing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah?
I like all horror movies.
Yeah.
Actually,
I recently saw it. We have The Thing. I've never seen it. Yeah.
It's good.
We have a DVD of it.
Really? Oh, old school. I still have DVDs too. I'm so like never breaking.
No, I have to have DVDs because eventually the internet will go down and then I'm going to want to watch that movie again.
Right? Mm-hmm. I have the same feeling with CDs. People make fun of me because I still have CDs / burn CDs for people.
You see that white thing above me? That is a brand new CD player that I just bought, which also has Bluetooth.
Oh, that's smart.
Sure. Yeah.
And one of the reasons that I was like, see, I'm so glad I had my CDs is because I thought by burning them and putting them into iTunes that it would just like stay there. But then I got a new computer and they weren't there. And I was like, thank goodness I still have these CDs because otherwise I would have just lost my music.
Wait, it doesn't stay in your account?
Apparently, I think what happened was, because you know how like they're trying to push like Apple Music now and like iTunes sucks, do Apple Music.
Yeah.
I guess now there's like a new thing, which I had to get like an iTunes, I forget what they call it, but something that does put yourself in a cloud that you can transfer over. But I thought it was just like automatically in a cloud. Apparently, I think they stopped doing that. Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Anyway.
Are the Jordan Peele horror movies as good as people say? Like,
yeah, what? I mean, I loved Get Out. I thought that was genius.
Which one was that one? What was that about?
It's the lead character who's black. He goes to visit his white girlfriend's family.
Okay.
And craziness
ensues.
Yeah. But I will say what I thought was so smart about it is he kind of, you know, obviously touched on racism, but it wasn't with this like podunk backwards, you know, white family. It was like a very liberal seeming family that's just like, I just want to let you know I voted for Obama, like super like family, which I think was like an interesting thing to tackle. But what he's really good at, and I liked Us too, I just didn't like it as much as Get Out, is he, you know, does what a lot of people like. He has a certain scenario, but he has like a deeper, you know, social meaning that he's getting to.
Right. There's more layers to it and stuff.
Yeah. I actually think is cool with a lot of scary movies. Like, what's the Night of the Living Dead?
Right.
Had the same thing because the protagonist was black and then he killed all the zombies. And then at the end, he was killed by like the townspeople. So it's very like,
It's interesting because those, the kind of genre that stuff is, you can sort of hide or put more social messages in
exactly.
That because people are like, yay, it's bad, good guys and bad guys, and we're doing this, or it's a romance. And, you know, because I have traditionally for many years have said the sort of the worse the movie, the more B plot the movie, there's the more sort of, yeah, just kind of like obviously sop to the masses. Mm-hmm. There's usually a point. There's usually like Dirty Dancing, keep abortion legal, right? Yeah. Yeah. Footloose. Censorship is bad.
Yeah, totally.
Blue Crush. Did you ever see Blue Crush, the surfing movie?
Yes. Uh-huh.
True happiness is found through corporate sponsorship.
Uh-huh.
So it could be right wing or left wing.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
It could be, yeah.
Interesting. That is,
yeah, it could be, I always look for the B plot in those sort of movies. So.
Yeah, totally.
And so obviously race is going to be part of it.
For sure. And I think that's always that's typically, I'm noticing that to be like a theme, especially with like zombie movies, that's sometimes some implication there.
Sometimes it's anti-corporate America too, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Because that's what the zombies are. They're just, they're office workers.
Yeah, exactly.
And
well, what's such out of that recently? I can't remember. Oh, the other thing I was going to say was I watched, the other day I went to a drive-in and I saw a movie. It's new. I'm not even sure it's officially out. I'm sure actually it's newly out. It's called Saint Maud, and it's kind of does what a lot of, it's kind of in the possession realm of scary movies, which I know those are the ones that I'm like, no, like The Exorcist. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Exorcism of Emily Rose. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. The Omen was the creepiest.
Exorcism of Emily Rose was the one that like I, her possession always happens at 3 a.m. So if ever I had to wake up in the middle of the night and it was 3 a.m., I was like, got to stay up till 4 a.m. I got to keep guard.
it's like that one with the VCR. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
The ring.
Ringer? Or
yeah,
the Ring?
The Ring, yeah. Oh, but what I was going to say is I think those movies talk a lot about mental health. You know, like in St. Maud, it was, again, I'm not going to give it away, but it's very good. The whole time you're questioning, is this real or is this a mental health thing? You know, like, is this
interesting
supernatural or, yeah.
Right. And are they, is it their altered reality or is it reality that's altered on top of them?
Exactly,
like, is it a super, because there was some, you should know that Professor X's son, Legion, I think his name is, he could alter reality. Anyway, sure, this X-Men. But and I just saw, X-Men. We went to the drive-in and we saw The New Mutants, which was essentially shot. It was for Sony. So they kept delaying putting it out because they were like, I thought this was supposed to be a superhero movie, but they're all the superhero movies have a different genre. And the New Mutants superhero movie is a horror movie, an asylum madhouse horror.
Vibe. Yeah. Okay. Somebody told me about this. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was really good. And it was not too creepy, but it had a pretty good creep vibe. I mean, kind of the perfect creep vibe for me. And it helps that it's superheroes because I'm like, oh, they're going to get it together.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's probably no final girl.
Yeah.
And, so
that's when I'd be like, not watching this anymore. I didn't see anybody get stabbed.
Oh, there's bullshit. Trouble. There's trouble. It's a very Buffy the Vampire Slayer kind of a little bit of a vibe.
Oh, my God.
So
I loved that movie, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so much that I didn't watch the series for a long time because I was like in protest. Because I was like, no, this doesn't have Luke Perry or Christy Swanson, I think is her name. Because I loved it. I would like literally, this also alludes to my childhood, but, and I should say I did eventually watch the series and I loved it. So, but it took me a while, but I would go, we had a shed in my old house and growing up and I was not very supervised as a kid. So I would practice my knife throwing in the shed because there's a part where she like practices like throwing stakes into like, the wall and then like he catches it.
Yeah.
And I would just throw sharp objects at the wall. I was like, oh.
How'd that go for you? Did you get better at it?
No, I did not.
Were you using a steak knife?
I don't remember what I was using, but I do remember that I was able to do it and without any parent to be like, stop doing that. That's dangerous.
Yeah,
but I loved Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That was such a good movie. I know that it wasn't the intention of Joss Whedon. Or apparently he did not like the movie at all, but Oh. The series ended up being great too, but.
Right, right. Yeah, he went way away from the film. But did you see his scary movie?
Yes, Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods. How was that?
It was great. It's one of those. That's the other. I love that we're talking about this, like all the different genres. But like the horror comedy, I thought he did so well. It was very meta. They very much played into a lot of like tropes that you find in scary movies, specifically ones from like slasher movies and stuff.
Right.
Like, so I just thought it was like a very funny and creative horror comedy.
That's awesome. I always think of him as, I always think of him and Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. And I think I would want to hang out with Joss Whedon more than Quentin Tarantino. It's,
same.
Just because, Quentin Tarantino will get bloody and he'll get violent.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's almost never funny. Like in a, like oh, the, yeah. the funny is always, it's always some weird, it's more action show funny than comedy.
Yeah.
Like, cause when I look at the Joss Whedon Avengers, the first mm-hmm, Avengers movie, mm-hmm. it was sweet and it was team building and it was very funny in that kind of way. Sort of like Buffy, you know?
Yes, totally.
It was a nice ensemble cast,
yes.
you know, creating a team kind of thing.
Yeah.
Those would be the horror movies that I would want to see, is where there's a horror and then the team comes together and then they fight the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ever happen? Or is it usually just somebody survives?
Trying to think. I mean, I'm sure there is. I'm like, team fighting the bad guy. Like Zombieland comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the guy who did Hot Fuzz, that's not what he's known
for. I know what you're talking about. Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. Yeah.
Yes, that's another one that's great. I mean, I love, actually, I'm going to watch, again, go to Drive-In Thursday, and going to watch Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which is another horror comedy that I thought was very successful.
Oh, what is that?
Have you heard of that?
No.
That one's kind of playing into the whole, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, stumble into the podunk woods and these, like, psychopaths are there to kill you.
Yeah.
Except that these kids stumble into the woods of these two like kind of backwoods-esque characters.
Yeah.
But they're like, they keep on killing them. The kids keep killing themselves accidentally. And it seems like the guys are killing. So they keep on being like, you get away from her. Like once the, like everybody arrives, they're like, we didn't do anything. It's really, really funny. And it's got, I think it's got one of the guys from Shaun of the Dead, unless I'm confusing them. I might be confusing them.
Right, right.
But the two main characters are really funny.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely recommend that one.
Tucker and Dale?
Yeah, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Okay. And that is hilarious.
It's so funny.
Yeah, because the ones that scare me that I don't want to... Because the thing is, as far as I'm concerned, if it's a truly scary movie, I might get tricked into watching it once.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to watch it again. It's like mm-hmm. Schindler's List. What am I going to get out of that the mm-hmm. second time I see that?
Yeah.
That's very beautifully done. In other news, no, something else. But do you ever rewatch the ones that are, like there's a Nosferatu one, Shadow of the Vampire?
Oh, no.
Did you ever see, that's terrifying.
Ooh,
and I think it's with Robert Buscemi, who? Hey Siri, who's in Shadow of the Vampire? This is quite a moment. John Malkovich, Willem Dafoe, and Cary Elwes. Yeah,
I love that cast.
Year 2000, Shadow of the Vampire.
How did I miss this?
So,
I love that this because I love getting recommendations. Every time people give me recommendations, I'm like, seen it. So I'm so happy that you're giving me all these.
I literally, someone gave me the DVD in 2001 or 2002. I stayed up on, I was like, this would be a nice thing. I live by myself in an apartment. I did not sleep that evening.
No, God.
That's right. I watched it too late in the day and then I was up all night.
Yep.
So in other words, John Malkovich nails it. Willem Dafoe
great.
Nails
oh, he's
it.
Wonderful. Oh, yes. I'm so excited to watch this. I mean, there's definitely times where I've had to like, because I've gotten to the point, because I watch so many horror movies, that I can watch them right before bed and then be like, good night. Like, that's how little it affects me. Unless it's possession stuff, in which case I'll be like, nope, Nope. I don't know why from my brain I feel like I'm more likely to get possessed than I am to get like murdered by somebody like some like a break-in.
Well, that's good self-esteem. You're like, no, yeah. They're gonna want this. And
I also just like, oh yeah, I can take an intruder, but if there's like an unseen entity taking over my body, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. The ghosts. I can't stop it. You get it. Ghosts. And so, yeah.
Have you heard of? So there was like a pretty popular movie that just came out that was made during quarantine, a horror movie called Host. Have you heard of that?
No.
They do a really good job because, you know, we're seeing kind of across the board, like quarantine things being made, things like this, that people are shooting stuff via Zoom, mm-hmm. and they're just kind of like not that great. I was interested when people were talking about Host and how great it was, because it was very much like shot as like a Zoom, but it's just these friends that have an online seance together via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And, it's really good and really scary. It kind of touches on what
the host.
Like, yeah, or just Host. Cause there's actually a lot of horror movies called The Host. Like there's the one by,
oh, okay.
There's one about, oh man, I'm forgetting the director's name. The guy that did Parasite did, a movie called The Host.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, what I liked about Host was that they do what a lot of the found footage stuff did, you know, what Blair Witch did and what Paranormal Activity did, which is it makes it feel so real because it like, it looks like, especially if you watch it on your laptop, it looks like you are part of it. They do a really good job and it's very scary.
Host looks like it just came out, directed by Rob Savage with, and clearly, who's in it? Haley Bishop, Gemma Moore. Yeah, nobody I've ever
heard
of. Names I did. But six friends accidentally invite the attention of a demonic presence during an online seance and begin noticing strange occurrences in their homes where they are quarantined. Mm-hmm. That's right. Everybody's sheltering at home. And then all of a sudden, a strange demonic presence.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to... They're not ever going to do the dishes.
it's scary because like you realize everybody's by themselves, whereas you know in other movies maybe people can help each other.
Right. Everybody's like, solo.
Yeah. It's really good. That's one that again I had to watch like midday because I was like I'm not watching this before bed. It's too real. It's gonna happen to me.
Do you ever do a thing with Halloween or with horror movies? Where you start on a day and just start watching them, or do you watch them all year long? You'll watch them.
I watch them pretty regularly. My one friend does, which I kind of want to do, but I always like kind of forget it. She does for October 31 days of horror movies. She'll watch one every day.
Okay.
So I kind of was like, I want to start that because I want to, you know, especially living it. I mean, Halloween is one of my favorite holidays, or is my favorite holiday. And living in LA, you really have to go through efforts to get into the spirit because you don't have the weather to give you the efforts or like the smell of like changing the leaves and whatever.
You could go to Not Scary Farm.
Yes.
Have you ever been to Not Scary Farm?
I haven't.
It is terrifying. It is, I think, 35 different haunted houses. You want someone to ruin dolls for you? Not take yourself off to Not Scary Farm. You want someone to ruin toy trains for you? Yeah. It's like they take all the childhood things and then there's actors wandering and the entirety of Knott's Berry Farm is covered in dry ice. So there's a fog.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a destination for you.
I definitely like have dropped the ball on, as long as I've lived in LA, doing a lot of the fun things in the area that you can do.
Like the ocean. The ocean's right there. I've lived here for 23 years.
I know.
I have been 3 times.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not
and everybody
good.
Was like, oh, it must be so nice. You go to the beach all the time. I'm like, no, your first year you go maybe 5 times. And then you're like, oh, the traffic and the parking. And no, thank you. You know,
exactly. Yeah. And it's too bad. It's genuinely too bad. But so
totally.
Be it.
Yeah.
And yes, because I do that for Christmas. I do. I start watching Christmas movies Thanksgiving Day.
Oh.
And then I watched them until Groundhog Day.
Wow.
Where I end the season with the movie Groundhog Day.
Oh, and, yes.
But then there's no pressure. Like, because I have, you know, probably 40 Christmas movies. I don't want to watch two a day. That's right. A lot. But probably not in quarantine.
I was going to say, I feel like that's me now. Like, I watch like at least one a day.
Right. I could do one now. There's the Queen Latifah. That's my new one that's in rotation. Last Holiday.
Oh, yes. Are you big on, Hallmark movies? Is that what that is?
It isn't a Hallmark movie. I've tried to watch Hallmark movies. They are so enormously bad.
Yeah.
that they pull me. My brother, Russ, loves them. He says he likes them better than Lifetime movies.
Mm.
Jen Kirkman, also a big fan of the Hallmark movie. But I will say this. My brother Russ's favorite thing about the Hallmark movies is that there's always like a trinket in the movie that then if you go to a Hallmark store, you're like, that's that mug that she was drinking out of. There's that sweat. Like, it's literally then they sell the props. They sell the crap at Hallmark stores.
Smart.
And
that's
he was
smart.
Like, I didn't really realize it, but I was at the mall and we go into a Hallmark store and I was like, wait, that's that thing and that thing. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
That's how they get you. Sorry, but you tell me, what was the Queen Latifah one about?
The last holiday, she's diagnosed with some terminal disease. So she takes her 401k, cashes it out, and goes to the Alps to some spa resort skiing thing to blow the wad and live her life, you know. And Gerard Depardieu is in it.
Wait, who's that?
He is a French. He moved to Russia because he's become politically a madman. He purchased some Kool-Aid tablets and put on a tinfoil hat and literally moved to Russia from France. But he was a sort of an actor in children's movies, I think in the 80s and 90s. So, but Gerard Depardieu, he is. Yes. And
do you consider Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I do.
Okay.
Because you gotta, you know, but not initially, not until everybody else was like, no, that's a Christmas movie. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch Die Hard anytime.
Yeah.
And
I saw that for the first time, like just a few years ago. And I was like, this is good.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
Yeah. It's really good.
And I have to say that it holds up really well, all of it. You know, which is so hard sometimes with some of the Christmas movies. Holiday Inn, there's trouble. There's two scenes in blackface.
Ooh.
And yeah, that's And you're like, what? But the thing is, that worse, or is it worse that AMC cuts out those scenes? Because you're like, how about we were assholes and we watch ourselves be assholes?
Yeah.
And
don't hide that. Yeah.
Yeah, because first of all, the only black character in Holiday Inn probably was like, thank God I have insurance this year, you know?
Yeah.
And she played the housekeeper and there were two kids and she has like eight lines. But I will say this about Bing Crosby, besides we know now that he beat his children. But I will say this, that he was a huge fan he worked for civil rights within the industry and tried to always employ people, different people, because it was sort of like, you know, Frank Sinatra was a dick, but he was like, you have to let black people
totally in.
Yeah. And you're like, it's interesting. It means that nobody's 100% a dick.
Yes. Yes. I think that that's something that, you know, unfortunately nowadays we're become so like black and white with our thinking. And it is important to remember that, you know, people are human beings, that, yeah, like nobody's like 100% evil, even if they've done evil things.
Right. I mean, there's some people that are pushing 98-99% right now, and they could, you know, I won't be dancing on their graves, but I also won't be mourning them.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be like, good. Get out of the way, please.
Yeah.
You're
totally
super mean.
Yeah. And, for sure. Yeah. I just think it's funny when people are not funny. I think it's normal to think this, but when, you know, when we think of people that do bad things, you think of like, oh, this like, he's drooling slime and he's like hiding in the bushes, and it's never that person. It's
right,
always the
trope.
Guy that, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the people that, you know, sexually assault also like will walk an old woman across the street or like donate to really charitable causes. So it's, yeah.
Right, right. You're just like, hey, gropey McGroperson, it's really nice that you're willing to, you know, throw $1 million to help, you know, whatever, to teach people to read. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, it's so hard to, it's just genuinely hard to be a whole person.
Oh, for sure.
And,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's the hard part. That's the draw.
Is.
What do you think that, go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead.
Oh, I was literally, what do you think that has to do with zodiac signs?
Well, this is, now I'm, you know.
It's like growing horror up, movies where you could believe or not believe.
Yeah, totally. And I know it's looked as very silly to believe, but I just do, okay? I've seen some similarities in my life. And, you know, growing up, one of my best friends is Peruvian. And, you know, in like Latino culture, tarot cards and superstition and all that is kind of, is very like what's his name? I almost want to say Walter Matthau, and that's very wrong, but,
Wow, Bad News Bears.
The guy who he did on the astrology show, that it was like very big in, the Latino community. Anyway, but so her going over to my friend's house, like her mom was very into that. She would do our cards and all that. And at first I was very resistant because I'm technically a Cancer, but I really do not relate to them. as I'm getting older, I kind of do, but, it was very much just like, you'd rather stay home and read a book. And I was like, no, I like to party.
That's the generalization about Cancers. And it was always like, well, that sounds like a nice person. Because I'm a Cancer as well.
Oh, okay,
I wanted to be, I always wanted to be a Leo.
Yes, me too.
And for years, I would say, I'm kind of cuspy. I'm a little
same.
Leo cuspy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
When's your birthday?
July 20th.
When's Shut yours? Your fucking mouth. July 20th.
Dude,
are you serious? So first of all,
birthday
let me just
friends.
Also
birthday friends.
Can I also say this is the second podcast I've been on where me and the host had the same birthday?
Who else has July 20th?
It was Avital. Oh, I'm gonna blank on her last name because it was my friend Jess Ridgers and then Avital.
Okay,
and they have a podcast. Oh, God,
if you remember the name of the podcast, that would be even better for them.
I know. Let me. It's a horror movie podcast.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
so look that up and tell me what that is. Well, I tell you that Lori Kilmartin's birthday, I believe, is the 23rd of July or the 17th. I forget. It's 3 days different from mine. I believe it to be the 23rd.
Is 23rd? I think she means she's a... Oh, okay. The podcast is called He's Right Behind You. it's really good. And that's the one that I talked about, Exorcism of Emily Rose and how I'm terrified of 3 a.m. But yeah, me and Avital... Oh, let me see if I can find
also
her last name.
Also born July 20th.
Yes, born July 20th. Avital Ash.
Okay.
That's her name. That's so crazy. It's so funny because as soon as you said that you thought you were cuspy, I was like, I wonder if we have the same birthday. That's so crazy. I know. And then I like did like my whole chart and I was like, oh, well, the reason why is because I'm because people tend to think I'm a little bit more outgoing than I am. I see myself as being more shy, but I'm like, it's because I have a Leo rising.
how do you know how you're rising?
You have to know your like the time you were born and where you were born.
Oh my God, my dad can't even remember where I was born. It's like, I was like, where were you? He was like, I was running leads. Leave me alone.
I think it's weird that it's not written on your birth certificate, but it's not.
It probably is.
It's not written on mine. Yeah, no.
You were born?
No, which I was like, that seems like a thing that should be documented.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They put your time of death on your death certificate.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that?
And then I think the time dictates your rising and then the place dictates your moon, which mine is an Aries moon. So I have a lot of fire in my signs.
good. What does it all mean, though? It'd be because Leos are outgoing, but what are Aries? Is that the
Aries
that's the
are,
god of the war? God of
yeah,
war.
So they can be a little bit temperamental, like, and because it's in my moon, which is moon is, you know, is your like emotions, means I got a little bit of a temper sometimes. I also play, I'm Greek, so you know that explains that.
Right, and right. It's always interesting because people tend to, you know, when whenever anybody, because the thing, I think that all things are kind of true to some degree for all people, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, but it is nice to be able to say, no, no, I'm on Armenian time. I'm late. It just yeah. means I'm inconsiderate. Yeah. Is that something? And yeah, so,
yep.
But, you know, everyone claims, you know, a lot of people claim to have that sort of, it's how my culture yeah, does it. And totally. You're like, it I is.
Yeah. I think also because at least for me, like, because, you know, Greek people were very like loud, boisterous, passionate, whatever.
You guys want to break a plate.
Yeah,
you guys
exactly.
want to throw a plate at something.
Exactly.
Oppa.
And I got motokefali. So, and every time I've had, because, you know, a lot of Greek people own diners and restaurants and stuff like that. That's like our mafia.
Oh, it's the most. Where are you from?
I'm from Maryland, outside D.C.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin has so many Greek family restaurants. And my father, we go to the Forum. We go to the Forum, you guys, and there's mm-hmm. a gyro omelet, and it's in Wisconsin. Yep. That's why we call it a gyro omelet.
Yeah.
And how would you pronounce that word?
Gyro.
Gyro?
But I will okay. say that it's there's a letter in there that like Americans can't say so much because it's like a r sound.
Phlegmy kind of?
Yeah, it's like gyro. So it's not quite a Y. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's not quite a Y. It's not quite a G. So it's like that in between. Some people can do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just depends. It's,
yeah.
It would probably take practice, like learning yeah. how to pronounce a fucking name. Take the time. Yeah, you can do
exactly.
it. I believe in all of you.
My yeah. goodness. Ancelotos is not that hard. Okay, it's very phonetic. But if you, any, you know, substitute teacher I had growing up, it was a nightmare.
Yes, I'm just gonna say, is Sophia Z here? Is that what they said?
No, well, my real last name is Ancelotto, so it's an A.
Oh, it's
so
an
I was
A?
Always the first one.
Oh.
And then it was just like 5 minutes of being like, how do you say Aunt Zola? Wait, stand up. How do you say it?
Stand
what
up.
Is that? And now you're like seven and you just want to be like everybody else.
Oh my God, I can't possibly be singled out again.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Fair enough. So your Cancer, Leo rising, uh-huh. Aries moon, uh-huh. is there a sun? What else is happening?
Cancer is your sun. That's like your
who
you
are. Oh, that's the sun.
Yeah. And so Cancer, so basically I think like Cancer is like who you are, sun is like who you are. Rising is how you present to the world. So I like present more outgoing with the Leo. And then when I get super emotional is kind of where your Aries is. That's the main thing also that I know is I tend to get along with other water signs more. Like I noticed that. And
what are water signs?
So it would be another Cancer or Scorpios. I love Scorpios. Scorpios get a bad rep. A lot of people don't like Scorpios. Or a Pisces. I will not date a Gemini. That's my number one rule.
what are Geminis? Is that land? Is that sea?
That's
what
air.
Air?
So air signs I tend to, I'm not as big fans of because they're very like flighty and flaky and I just do not mess with flakesiness.
Seems late. Seems late in the day. I have a buddy. I wonder when he was born. Jim Wooster, who the first pre-recorded episode of this show, 597, whatever, a long time ago, 14 years ago, he wrote a sketch one time about how he was at a party. He must have written it when he was like 32 or 33. And some woman was, and they were talking. And she said, you know, but what you should know about me is that I'm crazy. I'm crazy. I'm wild and crazy. And I'm just, you know, I'm a lot of work. And he goes, well, it's been very nice meeting you. And, and he just walked away. And she was like, where are you going? He's like, I am 32 years old. I can't do crazy.
Yeah,
right
what's this about? No, thanks.
And, yeah. So there is a book you might like, and it's called Ooh. The Greater Trumps. And it's fiction about the creation of the tarot cards.
Ooh, I love that.
It's by a guy named Charles Williams. Mm-hmm. And he was good friends with Tolkien and the Narnia guy. So the Greater Trumps, he was part of the Inklings, which was this trio of dudes made up of J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and Charles Williams, who would go to and a couple other guys who would go to a pub in Oxford and drink.
That's awesome.
It's just more of a drinking club, I think.
Yeah.
And, but Charles Williams is the Greater Trumps is very interesting because I don't know, like, where did the zodiacs just develop from everybody looking in the sky and following astronomy and then it just turned to astrology and then.
Yeah, I think that's how it initially. I mean, to be honest, I don't fully know the background. I'm just like, yeah. I'm buying in. I've noticed the patterns in my life, so I'm buying in. Everybody's so, like, and like, just the thing about the Gemini thing, like, yeah. I dated like 7 of them in a row and they were all the same. And I would even approach a lot of them and be like, uh-oh, you're a Gemini. And they're like, you don't believe in that stuff. And then I'd be like, yeah, I shouldn't. I mean, it's
yeah,
like
you're
silly,
right? You're right.
And then the same shit happened. So
what are
I know
Gemini,
it sounds silly.
Right. What are the negative traits of a Gemini that have thwarted you in the past?
Yes. I will say, like, I've had friends that are Geminis, and that I can deal with a little bit more. It's just dating. But they're the twins. So they're kind of either they're two-faced or they're just like one thing on one day and then a complete other person on the other. So
okay.
For me, in my experience, what I noticed the trend to be in all of these Geminis that I dated is that they're very like, they're obsessed with you, you know, like, oh my God, when are we? And then they're like super like flaky nonchalant and they're upset. So it's just like this like two-faced person.
Oh, so they
person.
Would just blow. They literally just blow hot and cold.
Yes.
And you never knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And so a little more consistency.
Yes.
So would be great.
Exactly. And I just don't play like that. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to try to convince you to date. And
what's
whatever
January
bullshit.
29th? Do you know what that is?
That is Aquarius. Aquarius.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. That's my husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know what. That's a water thing. Is that a water thing, Aquarius?
No, he's an air. A lot of people think Aquarius is water, but he's air.
And what is Cancer? Is Cancer?
Cancer's water.
We're water?
Okay. Yeah.
Air and water. Okay.
So I feel like they're like, actually, that was my mom is a Cancer. My dad was an Aquarius.
Okay.
They did not get along, though. So not the best example.
It did not work forever.
Yeah.
Though, as my brother Phil likes to say about his failed marriage, he said, it was 17 years. Pretty good. We had like a pretty good 14-year marriage. And I said,
that's
what
pretty good.
And he said, yeah, the last 3 years were a little dodgy. And I said, what would you think your wife would have said to that? It's my sister-in-law. And he goes, probably a good 11-year marriage. And so he is aware that he was not entirely there for her.
That's interesting. So. Yes. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know much about Aquarians, except that one of the big things is like they're very much idea people. I've heard like they have like a lot of ideas and sometimes they have trouble manifesting them or like going past the idea.
Oh, okay. Like a procrastination problem of some sort?
Or just like a lack of either that or like kind of, you know, having a lot of different interests. So like not focusing on one or like not knowing how to really get to the next step. That's just
okay.
Like a common thing that I've noticed or that I've heard about Aquarians.
Right. It's what are the most, we're pushing an hour here. So let's get to the positive things about all the signs. Like it's kind of, what do you think people could get out of, I mean, I've read the horoscopes and they're usually just a tiny pep talk or a tiny warning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I mean, and I don't even fully like read daily horoscopes or anything like that. I just kind of know some qualities of the signs. And then I, you know, so like, and I would even clump them almost by their element. This is so woo-woo.
Ooh,
and I love it.
What's their element?
Well, so like if it's water, air, fire, or earth.
Okay.
So like water signs tend to be the more emotional ones. We're like more creative, a little bit more sensitive, which is why, you know, we all kind of tend to get along because we really respect each other's feelings and like, you know, we're very that. Air signs can be a little bit more flighty, but they're also like very flexible, go with the flow kind of people. They tend to be the ones that like get along with the most people, you know.
Oh, okay.
Are easily, fluctuate easily. Earth signs are very grounded, down to earth, loyal.
Okay.
You can count on them. And then
Hufflepuff.
Fire signs are, yes. And then fire signs are very like attention, you know, charismatic.
Okay.
Kind of loud and
what's
all that.
The one after us? What's the one after Cancer?
Leo.
Leo.
So it would be
oh,
fire.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're
fire.
Kind of water and fire. Yeah.
Water, yeah, because I was trying to think, because Kilmartin, if it's the 23rd, she's really pushing it.
Yeah.
And
that's what
and
I was saying. I was like, I think she might be a Leo, or she's like literally the day before. Yeah, I forget what the cutoff is.
Yeah.
That's interesting. She's hilarious, too.
She is hilarious. She's good people, too, and very supportive.
Yeah.
Except for when she's riffing, and then she is brutal. And so
that's a good friend to have, though. I like that.
It's good times. It's good times. So, yeah. So, by the way, I am talking with Sophia Zolon, and it's at Sophia Zolon on Instagram. She has two shows. One's the live stream show, the shout out show on Dynasty Typewriter. So, do they go to Dynasty Typewriter? Dot the shout out show?
It's dynastytypewriter.com/SOS.
Oh, SOS. Oh, shout out show. And then on Instagram, it's Sozo Variety Show. And these are once a week, once a month, I forget.
Once a month. So the shout out show is the first Thursday of the month. It's a YouTube live stream, and it's at 5 o'clock Pacific. And you can find that on my Instagram at Sophia Zolon or dynastytypewriter.com/SOS. And then the Sozo Variety Show, it is the 20th of every month at 7 o'clock Pacific on my Instagram. And we've had I try to vary up between comedians, and then we've had drag queens, musicians, pole dancers, fire eaters. So it's just like a fun time.
That's awesome. Variety show wise. It's full on variety show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the Dork Forest. This was
thank you for having me.
I kind of wish I could push it forward and just put it up in October, but I think that's more work than I wanted. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No worries.
Out loud. Rangers, you heard it here first. Me being a jackass.
No, you weren't. I want to, but I'm not going to. So anyway.
I'm not going to, because it sounds like a lot of work. And Patrick Brady would have to change the order and the numbers. Anyway, so thank you so much for doing the show. Sophia Zolon is available all over the place. Find the shows. Find the comic. She's great. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?